Hello, and welcome to my thing over here. Welcome to this podcast, which I have no idea what the topic is going to be about, but it's going to be about whatever I'm going to talk about for the next hour. And hopefully I can fill an hour with talking about stuff, right? Donut cone. Ooh, donut cones. Food. Food. What's your favorite foods? Oh, what's going on? What's happening? Hey, drinking some stuff, doing some stuff. I'm going to make some art right now. I have this blank canvas in front of me. But I have a couple topics in mind, but I totally forgot what I was going to talk about. So whatever pops up in my head is what I'm going to talk about. I can start off by talking about art. And these tiny little peppers. Look at how cute that little pepper is. It's so cute. Nice. Let's see. You know, recently I didn't really want, you know, I go back and forth with like being motivated and not being motivated, right? And most of it is, you know, for some weird reason I get distracted easily. And, you know, I end up like on a million projects at once, but it's good to have something to focus on, something to practice, right? And for me, art is that practice. If I can focus on art, it's like meditation for me. That's like my focus meditation. And so the more I do art, the more focused I am in everything else I do. But I can overdo it, you know. Sometimes I like to sit here and do so much art that I need to go outside. I need to ground. I need to ground out. I need to put my feet in the dirt. But that's what the garden's for, right? I'm watering the garden right now, in fact. Don't let me forget. All right, so art. Art. Smart. There's no rules to art, remember? Try new stuff. Listen to things. You know what I heard in this podcast the other day? I'm the worst with remembering where I heard stuff, so sorry. I heard them say that they were, this guy who was like, I'm practicing trying to listen to stuff that is difficult to listen to. Like the things you don't want to hear, you know? And it always goes along with that thing I tend to think about often. And that's like thing we push against all the time. All those things you don't want to deal with. All those things that you like, you're annoyed by. Like, if you just do them instead of, or you know, or just not be annoyed by them. Just embrace them. Be like, alright. Whatever. And just not be attached to it. And then usually they just disappear and it's not a problem anymore. But in this podcast they were talking about, like, you know, listening to the one that's difficult to listen to. Paying attention to the thing that you wouldn't normally pay attention to. Because if it crosses your path, then there's a reason for it, right? There might be a reason it's crossing your path. But I think we push against things in our lives. We're like, I don't want any of that. I don't want it. I don't like that music. I don't want it. I don't know how many times I like pushed against something and then later on was like, well, actually, I kind of like that, maybe. I don't know. I like tend to push against things that are popular. Like, oh, I don't want to watch Game of Thrones. Everybody's watching Game of Thrones. You know, that kind of thing. Like, I don't really want to do that. But I find that when you embrace unity, you embrace like I find there's something to discover in that. There's a reward, you know. So even though things are in the mainstream, even though I think that's just our young rebellious self, is like we want to like do something different. We got to be different, you know. But I think over time you realize that like the real shit happens is when you come together and do stuff together, like collaboration. You know, look at movies, look at bands, look at anything where people come together and create. It's pretty amazing. Like when one guy is just standing there, it's, you know, That's tough. That's stand-up comedy right there. That's not easy. But I think people just, we forget that. We forget that we need each other. Right? You know, not to be dependent on, but like to interact with. That's why we're here, you know? Like, I think nature is a big part of it too. Yeah, we could, that's where we're coming from. We need to remember what we are, but you know, at the same time, like humans are the reason why we're here. I feel like art, the reason why we do art is so we can interact with humans more. Like it's a tool, it's like a communication device. It's a way of communicating without words, that's for sure. You know, but like I think art is meant to be whatever you want it to be, but there's no rules and there's no definitive meaning. It could be whatever it wants to be, but it just needs to be used, I think. But it can inspire other people. It can, you know, lead them to some kind of awareness of something. It could do all kinds of things for people. I mean, it does every single day. It does stuff. But I think most people are unaware, you know. Like, we just kind of do things to make us feel good. Like me, I'm painting something that just is, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just painting something. It feels good. Nice little doorway. I like to paint doorways because it feels like it's like a portal to somewhere. Let's go somewhere. Where does this lead? Maybe underground. Maybe into a cave under the earth with ancient relics from another time. Like your imagination. You can do whatever you want with your imagination. That's my favorite thing about art, is using your imagination all the time. And the more you use your imagination, the more it like gets, it's strong, you know? I think when I first started painting and drawing a lot when I was younger, it's hard to like almost see images. Like I still don't see images clearly in my eyelids. Under my eyelids, you know, it's not like I close my eyes and I see shit and then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna paint that. That doesn't happen at all. That's not what I do. Like, and it's a kind of hard to describe what happens. Basically, I just put the brush on the canvas and just start moving it around like a magician waves its wand. But I don't, the only thing you have to do is set intention. That's it. You're like, I'm just gonna have fun. I'm gonna make a little landscape and this shape, and it could turn into something else. It doesn't have to have, there's no rule. It doesn't have to do anything. You can just, it doesn't have to serve a purpose. It doesn't have to elevate anybody's mood or do anything. It can just be to see what you can do. A lot of the ideas that I get just happen from this kind of stuff, where I'm just making up stuff. I'm just creating a familiar image on a piece of paper, but it might change and grow into something else. That happens a lot, you know. Like I was saying in the other video, you might throw a whole bunch of paint down and then not have any intention, just to see where it goes, just kind of explore it, and then something totally different comes out of it. You know, you're like trying a new technique or something, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, actually I hadn't thought of that before, but look at this. I'm doing this now. I was just doing green and white, but now I'm going to add some blue. See where that takes me. Fill in some of these dark spots. You know, work in some shapes I like to do, like some of these shapes. And maybe I'll just stack a whole bunch of them on top of here. Sometimes it's fun to just let your brush go wherever. See what happens. Just wave it around. I think one of the techniques that I learned from painting that I was never really taught to me, and I think a lot of people are curious about, which just popped into my head yesterday actually, was pressure. Like, you never really hear anybody talk about pressure. Like how much pressure you apply when you're pushing down on the brush. And then how much water. It's like you're an alchemist. You have to, like, there's like this water to paint ratio, and then like the dryness of the brush. Like say for instance, I put a bunch of paint on the brush, right? I dab it on there with no water at all. Now it's like a thick paste and I can like draw with that, you know? But then it starts to run out as I draw with that. And then as it runs out, it becomes more opaque, you know? So like as it runs out, you can do more like fills or like, you know, like blending maybe. And then as it even gets thinner and with less paint on there, you can do like thin layers, you know, just lightly swipe on top of the canvas and get a little bit of shading. And then you still have paint on there, you know, it's not on there thick and you've used all the, like most of the paint, you dip it in some water and then now you got like a thin layer of paint that you can put over some white and then it like turns it a certain color. Look at that. Fill in all the white with one color, you know, and then you can go back and add more white. You can go back and draw something else on top of there, you know. It's just fun to try. But the thing is like with shading a lot, I'll have like a certain, like right now is a good mixture. So it's always about that mixture of how much water and how much paint you got on the brush. And right now I have a nice mixture to where I could like shade something. So I'm applying very light pressure at the end of the shade. So I start by pushing harder and then you get that. And then as I move away from where I want it to be lighter, I lift up off the paper or the canvas. I lift the brush up. I like release the pressure. You know what I mean? But you do it in like a light motion and then just slowly release and then it fades off. You know what I mean? And you can do that a couple different ways with the like how much paint there is and how much water there is. And like some people like to blend with multiple colors going back and forth, or you can add white in the middle of there, you know. So one of the fun things to do is do a whole painting where you just practice different techniques. You try stuff. You're like, oh, look at, let me try mixing these two colors together or putting white on top of this, you know, or whatever, vice versa. Try stuff. One of the things that I learned from digital art, from doing digital art, is that opacity button where you make something, I think that's how you say it, where you make something thinner, you make the paint thinner. It's like you can bring it all the way down so that when you make a line or whatever, you can see through it, but the paint is, or the color is still there. So I've used that technique from doing that like in shading and stuff, because one of the easiest things to do in digital art is like draw your whole figure, your little character, and then go back with like a very opaque layer of black or purple and do all the shading. So like you don't have to, you just do like one layer, you just like that, but very opaque, and then now you have like a shadow. You don't have to like try to fill it in or anything. You just do a little whoosh. For cartoony stuff, it's great. But then I took that idea and to painting, and it's kind of like, you know, working with washes, you know, washing or glazing or whatever you want to call it. There's different terminologies for it. So where you work in a lot of white and then you do like a wash on top of the white with a different color. It's kind of fun because then it fills in the canvas more with paint and it gives you more of a depth for sure. It's just a different way of painting. There's like multiple ways of approaching a painting, you know. Some people paint like basically paint by numbers where they just put an image on there, they draw it, and then they reproduce it exactly how they want it, you know, from the reference photo or whatever it is you're using. But sometimes you just kind of want to like, you just want to experiment and see what happens. And you have to, if you've never done it before, you gotta like try some stuff, right? So look at it. I'm just getting a thin layer of paint and just putting it right on top of there, like that. And now we got this other tone, this other color. And then I'll just wait for this to dry and add more white paint in here and highlight some of these things. I don't even know what's going on in here. Hello. Hello. Just talking about art and painting and music and... I think there's a lot of things in art that stopped me from doing it at first, making me think it was harder than it was when I first started doing art. And I didn't really have any direction in it before, but now I feel like I have more direction because I've been doing it for so long. I think you try everything, and then eventually you're like, well, wait, I kind of want to do this. I want to tell stories, or I want to, you know, I want to try to relay some emotion, you know. And then you hear all these different stories of other artists and what they did, you know. What are, there's different kinds of artists and different reasons to do art. Like, everybody's got a different reason. I always feel like ultimately it would be awesome to, like, be able to paint somebody's dream, you know? Like, take a scene out of a dream and paint it. Either that, or, like, somebody come to you with a dream and you paint it. Or like, being able to paint something that, like, moves someone to do something. Like, invent something, or meditate and, you know, like, some kind of soul map or something. I need more paint. I have no white paint right here. Hold on. Aha! But I think ultimately, like, when people are artists for a long time, after watching a bunch of documentaries on artists, you always see the same specific topics pop up, and it's like they're trying to break the rules or go beyond what has been done before. Like, ultimately, if it's like something you're doing your whole life, you either get really comfortable with the thing that you're doing and you're just like, this makes me money, I'm happy painting these little things my whole life, you know. You like find one little niche and you just do it. You're like a worker artist, or you're like pushing the envelope and trying to find the next thing in art, you know, like the next level. That's possible. That's been achieved by people in the past. They like got to this new place in art that was never tried before, you know, or at least never expressed, like, in modern day or something, you know. Like, I think for a lot of people, they're like pushing, like, what's a masterpiece, you know, questioning themselves, what's a masterpiece, what do I have to do to, like, what is ultimately, is it skill, is it concept, is it, you know, what do you do, what makes it a what consists of a masterpiece? And I think it's probably just like a popularity contest, you know, like whatever people consider the most popular, like, what's a masterpiece, what is a masterpiece, you know. It might be something you dedicate your whole life to, so maybe like a certain style, or certain, you mastering something and then finally executing it in a way that's just perfection, you know? Like, what is a masterpiece? And asking yourself that as an artist, like, and is that achievable? Are you going to do that? And what's your subject matter going to be, you know? It's like your ultimate thing. What are you going to paint and leave behind, you know? Or are you just like totally non-attachment? Hey, I'm just going to paint. I'm just going to enjoy this. Just gonna have fun with this. This is cool. Like, I don't need to be remembered. I'm fine. Sell some art along the way. You know, like, that's kind of like the whole intention thing. What's your intention with art? But I think that goes through the minds of people who do art as everything. It's everything to them. Because when you do it all the time, like I do, it's, you think about it as you fall asleep. You think about it when you wake up. You think about ideas all the time because that's all you're doing. If you're doing it all the time, then you just, it's like some little angel or demon is just hovering by like, hey, I got ideas. Here you go. Here's another one. Do this one now. And you don't run out. It's kind of like an addiction. You're just like, all right, this is what I'm doing. This is my life purpose. You know, and it's kind of like, I was listening to this podcast the other day and they were like, well, you know, you can dabble in magic and the astral plane. It was Jason Lube, I think. And, you know, you can dabble in all this stuff. You can learn all these, like, amazing things in magic and the astral realms and stuff and, you know, the spirit world and shamanism. But, or maybe he didn't say shaman. He was just talking about magic. He's like, but you can't use it in the real world, really. Like, it's not, nobody cares. If you like got to some like magical hierarchy thing, like that's not this world. Like you can't take that to a job and get a job. Like really, you're like, I am the supreme wizard of this level or whatever it is, you know. And you always hear him say the same thing where it's like, eventually you just get over that shit. You just meditate. Eventually you're like not trying to talk to demons or angels or whatever the fuck, and you just like meditate because you realize that that's what really matters and that's what lasts, you know. And everybody's trying to go for some crazy intense experience. I think that's the fault of movies, you know. Everybody wants to have the experience of some paranormal experience, you know, like, oh, I saw this light come out of the sky and it changed my life forever, instead of like actually just changing their life forever with their own motivation, their own volition or whatever, their own inertia. But yeah, jobs, I think, you know, jobs can be fun, you know, and I think it's important to have a good fun job, you know, something that you enjoy doing. When I worked at a grocery store for a lot of years, I would always try to have a lot of fun, you know, because if you're not having fun, what the hell? They should at least pay you to have fun, right? I mean, if you're spending that many hours a day, like, doing something, I don't know. Yeah, you should enjoy it. Like, right now, I'm painting, but I'm painting because, you know, I want to see something new, and I feel like this is something new. I'm just randomly throwing paint on the canvas. Yeah, I'm gonna discover where this is going. And then talking about art and music and aliens. Aliens aren't real. They don't exist. Hey, Purdy. I think jobs are useful. You know, I really, the one thing I miss about a job is that check. You do your job. Every 2 weeks, there it is. There's your check. You're like, thanks, ka-ching, later. It's dependable. It's reliable. You know you're going to be able to pay rent as long as you keep going to work. You know, it's nice. It's a nice, dependable thing, you know. But being a creative person, you kind of have that, like, I think what ends up driving creative people a lot of times is like rent and stuff. So it's like fight or flight kind of thing. So a lot of times you lean on, you know, trying to just do work to get paid and shit like that. So you're not able to like express yourself, and you don't even know what it is you want to express, you know? Like, what is it you're trying? Painting your dreams? What do you do? You know, like, do you have a theme going on? Are you making some characters and writing a story with it? Maybe not. Maybe you're just learning and you're just trying to like paint everything and get everything down. You know, there's different levels of it. I think it's a great hobby and it's a great way to like de-stress yourself. You know, I find that like if I'm talking, it helps get ideas out while I'm talking and painting. It's especially great to paint with other people and talk about ideas in like a live setting. It's great. But I think art can become tedious and annoying. And I think it's good to have another creative outlet. You know, if you're an artist, pick up an instrument and try that. It really helps me a lot. You know, because if you do one thing too much, you're just going to burn out on it. So it really helps me to be able to have that guitar or another instrument that I'm learning or some other thing I can do, a garden, you know, like something I enjoy just as much, but it's not that, you know. So that's important for not burning out. And when you do something else, you usually get ideas too. Like you're like, oh yeah, I should paint that. You wouldn't have thought of that if you were painting, you know. You're just outside of it, and you're like, oh yeah, I should totally paint that. You know, one thing I want to do more of is go out and take pictures of some of these flowers and stuff to use for reference photos around here. There's tons of reference photos everywhere that I can take, and I don't have to give credit to anybody. I think there's some bands coming to stay at our house today. I should remember my roommate saying that. Was that today? I don't know. It's been really smoky, so maybe they canceled. I don't think they're playing, though. I don't think they're playing here. Just no expectations, just like, just blindly. That's awesome. You know, I heard someone say one time, woohoo, I heard someone, it's good to do both, you know, like I miss it when I don't do that. Like I get into painting portraits and I'm like, I miss just free flowing with a painting like this, just like making up some shit and just seeing what happens. That's what's great about having this book. I can just throw whatever down and be like, oh, let's see how this goes. You know, if you only have like one canvas, it's kind of hard to do, you know. But it's really nice to have a lot of paper or canvas or something like that to just be able to do that, you know. Or what I used to do when I painted at festivals all the time, I'd always have one painting that I would just paint over every festival. Be a new painting. I'd take a picture and then just paint over it. I was like, this is my... It had so much paint on it. Oh my God. Like, this is my festival painting. It's just got like five paintings under there so far. And I just continue to work on it. It was like me practicing, you know. So, alright. So, yeah, art can just be all kinds of shit, right? It can be meditation, it can be work, it can be, you know, something that you might discover something else through. I think if you're attracted to being an artist, then who knows, you might end up being like a musician. Like, you never know. Art leads to other art. That's a great thing. You know, and being able to have something else that you do that's artistic, like maybe you write poetry too, or maybe you do some other thing. That's huge when you're an artist, like a visual artist. If you have some other thing, you can take that and use that to sell your art. Like a lot of people do that. I recognize that. Like, some artists are really good at social media. Some are really good at like style and clothing, and so they put their stuff on clothes, or they have connections with DJs, so they get a lot of their art on you know, album covers, or you know, like everybody has like a thing that they do other than the thing that they do that gets them into being able to get their art out there. You know what I mean? Like, if I was to sing a song about my art, you know, that would be me making up another media to go with my art. It's kind of a cool idea. What if I wrote a song for every painting? Now that'd be something. Maybe I should do that. Huh? Maybe I already did. Oh. Oh, you like those canvas pads? Oh man, I love those canvas pads. They're great. Yeah, there's these canvas pads. Make sure you get canvas pads and not canvas paper from Amazon. They're like $8 or $9 a pad, and you get 10 pieces. And it's like just like canvas, but it's like flat. Roll it up. Send it in the mail. I like the fact that you can roll it up into like a scroll if you wanted to. You could put two pieces of wood on each side and make a scroll and then hang it like that. That'd be cool. I did that right there. I have a painting like that. I made one just like that. I want to see it. Culinary art is a big passion. Ooh.
Wouldn't that be cool? A song for every painting? That would be awesome. Like this. Like, you could take it, and then I made this thing. Look. I don't know if you can see this, but it's just, I just tacked it. These are like tacks right here, holding it, the canvas onto a piece of willow, and then watch. Whoop, whoop, whoop. That's a piece of hemp right there. And then you just tie that off right there, with a little bow. Boom, scroll. You know, you got, and you can just stack these. You can just like put them in a box, pile them up to the ceiling, take them to a show. People are like, what is this? Oh shit, nice. You can put one at the bottom too and just glue it. Just glue it on there, you know, and then just roll it up. I'm sure you got some straight sticks around, right? But like ideas like that, oh man. Take prints of all your stuff and make little mini books. You know, give them away. People keep art books. I have a video on my YouTube channel that shows you how to make little mini books out of one piece of paper and two staples. You know, I have a box of little mini books that are blank. I should start filling them in. You know, and then there's a ton of ideas. I have a ton of ideas when it comes to art. If you guys ever need an idea, seriously, like, don't feel like you can't ask me that. That's like the number one thing. Michael, I need an idea for this. I need an idea for an emoji. I need an idea for a logo. I need an idea. If you're willing to talk about it and you know what you want, then I can help you maybe come up with a new thing. That's all I've done in my whole life is different art projects, different styles of, you know, pointillism and whatever, everything. Just you do it. That's what you do when you're an artist. You try all the stuff, right? And then you know stuff about, like, colors, and you know stuff about what works and what doesn't work. So feel free to ask me questions about, like, you know, do you need an idea for something? Maybe what should I do next with art? If anybody has any questions, feel free to leave them in the comments or wherever. Send me a message. Like, I need an idea for a painting. I'll be like, paint a tree. Paint a tree. Paint a perfect... Paint a picture of perfect health. I wrote a book. It's called Art Magic. It's online. You can find it. There's an audiobook. There's a regular book. It's called Art Magic. And basically, this is to get you to paint. Just ideas. That's why... That's my life purpose. That's my mission. Is to get you to do something creative. And if I'm down and not creating myself, it's because I'm figuring out how to inspire you to do it more. And this last time I was down and out, I figured out an easy trick to get back up on top and interested in creating. Look at other people's art. Look at other people's art. Look at ancient art. Look at cave drawings. Look at how ancient peoples did art. Like what they did art and why they did art. You know what I mean? Like, follow art history. You know, that you can never learn enough about art history. There's a ton of stories about just one specific artist who did this, you know? Like, go look up a sculpture and where it started, or like any kind of modern art or anything. Like, even the stuff you're not interested in, find out why they did that. You know, why did Picasso paint faces like that? Because he was inspired by masks from Africa. Did you know that? You know, like, go find out why that shit is the way it is. Go find out why Matisse painted like that, because he was blind. Go find out, you know, like, why people did the things they did and why it was popular. And why the Mona Lisa? Why? It's like this big. I mean, why? Like, for years I was always like, why the Mona Lisa? What is so amazing about the Mona Lisa? It's a portrait with a woman with a mischievous smile. But I didn't realize until recently that that mischievous smile was why everybody liked it. Like, I didn't realize that. I had to, like, it was 2020 when I found out. Like, in all these years, I'm like, oh, yeah, everybody just likes the Mona Lisa. It's good, you know. But there's, like, all this whole story behind it. And then, like, what it represented at the time for women, you know, and this mischievousness and this expression that was, like, in... It was like people coming out of the closet, basically. That's what, like, people, they saw that as, like, a women expressing themselves in a way. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, why? Go find out why people like the art. Why do people like all those sculptures of, like, naked people? Why? Why was that so popular? You know? It's curious. And, like, I sit here and I think, why am I doing this art? And what am I? And then there's people all through history who did art for reasons, you know? And a lot of times it was like religion, you know? A lot of it's religion. So much of art was driven by religion, but that's because the church would feed artists to work on art for them. I mean, go where the food is, you know? Here's my theory of everything. Artists don't work in, you know, in the fields growing food. They're just good at making art and ideas. So they convince all the worker bees, all the people making food and houses and everything, of religion, of stories, that they convince all those people they need entertainment so that they can eat.
That's it. That's all human history right there. That's all it is. Is like, you know, like all those paintings of Jesus fed so many artist families. I mean, like, there's a lot of paintings of Jesus. There's a lot of sculptures of Jesus. There's a lot of sculptures of Greek gods. Like, those artists were fed. You know what they thought? You know what the thought was that went through that sculptor's mind? They're like, oh, you want the highest quality sculpture. Not, you don't want a sculpture out of wood. That doesn't last time. You want something that lasts forever, right? You needed it out of stone. And it's going to take me 10 years. So are you going to feed me for the next 10 years? Brilliant. Oil paint takes a long time to dry. Oh man, I ran out of blue. I gotta go to another country to get some blue azurite, you know, like, or whatever the rock is that you gotta crush up to get the, like, I think part of being an artist is being a con artist. You know, because you're basically just taking, you're like, okay, like, if you need this piece of art, it's gotta be, you know, the high, not necessarily con, but you know, you gotta, like, you gotta inform these people what it takes. And if you're gonna want this piece of art to last forever, you're gonna have to feed me for the next 10 years. It will stand the test of time. No, but I think, like, everybody just creates art and then, like, you have to tell a story. Like, what's the one question that everybody asks? What's the name of that piece? What's the name of that painting? You know? What's the name of that painting? How long did it take you? It's like already programmed into people. Like, they ask me. I don't even have to tell them. I don't even have to, like, okay, I gotta think of a title. I gotta think of a story behind this so I could sell it. No, they're asking me. Like, it's all built in, you know. Everyone just does it, you know. Like, and I think a lot of artists try to, like, just create, you know. They're like, there's no meaning. I just enjoy doing it. I just had fun. But, you know, if you're buying it, you want a story, right? You gotta hear, like, at least what it took to make it, you know, or the theory behind it, or the materials you used, or how long it took. You know what I mean? So, like, you gotta, like, give them some kind of story, if not a title. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking about this the other day because somebody was like, oh, I do abstract art. I won't name names. Somebody big on Twitch. I was just in there watching. They're like, oh, I do abstract art. It's undefined. There's no definitions there. It's just like a loose thing. And I'm like, oh, really? Oh, okay, cool. No, I'm down with that. It's like, it matches your couch, you know? And she's like, it's super successful. People really love it. They feel it, you know? And then I was like, ooh, let's see some. So she was showing some, right? And each painting had a title that was a description of what it was. You know, so it was like a bunch of, like, crazy lines of a specific color. And she called it, like, broken glass. So even though she was saying it was undefined, she defined it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she titled it. Like, so if your painting's undefined, why are you titling it? You know, why don't you just say, that one's called, right? Why don't you give it an abstract title? Okay, blah, blah. You know, this one is blah, blah, blah. But you're defining it. That it's just, it cracks me up because it's like, oh, this one is love. This one is passion in the trees, you know, or whatever. I don't know. Whenever you're titling your abstract painting, it's funny because it's just like a bunch of color and lines and stuff. And then you're like, definition. It's not abstract at all. If it was abstract, it would be like, blah, blah. To me, that just seems silly. But, like, I get it. I get that you want, you know what I mean? I get that you want to call it abstract because you can't paint things, you know? But my bad. That's just a joke. I get it. Abstract art is, like, expressive art to me. Like, you feel specific colors that have a certain mood. It's like when you learn about modes in music. There's certain chords you play that bring about a certain emotion. Like, for a long time, I really liked art that was really gradient and solid. Just solid color going in another solid color with, like, no defined lines. Oh, I love that. It just brings, like, it's almost like those satisfying videos where you're just like, oh, yeah. And I think that's why everyone loves those acrylic pours, too, because it's just, like, milky and delicious looking. Your eyes just feast on it. It's like candy, you know. But there's really no definition there. You're just like swirls, Saturn's rings, or whatever. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. Melting pot. But I just see people who want to be creative. That's all, you know. Like, I don't know. I've seen people do abstract art and then stick form on top of it. That looks really cool. Where you'd like stick an image of something on it. Like, it's super abstract, and then there's like a tree or a samurai or like a heart or something, you know? I like that. Wolf Puppy says, I have an abstract painting that belonged to my grandparents that drove everyone so crazy because everyone thinks it's clearly a butterfly, but the artist swore it's an abstract. It's like one of those Rorschach paintings or whatever, where the ink blot, where it's just, and you're like, oh, I see a naked person, or whatever. It's like you see whatever your imagination. I like that about art. I think art should be vague enough to, like, be able to see things in it. You know what I mean? Like, not necessarily images, but definition. You should be able to see, like, define it yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you can clearly see that this is a robot and blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, now you're defining what it means. You know what I mean? Like that's cool. But then also with abstract art, I love how you can just put a bunch of crazy lines and like layers of paint, and then images come out. I think they call that like glossolalia. Is that what it's called? There's a certain term for it where it's like a bunch of mixed mash paint and stuff, and then like images start to come out of it, and you can kind of like draw lines around stuff. You ever done that where you take a bunch of watercolor and you throw it down, and then you take a pen and you outline stuff, and you see little images and little characters and people and stuff in the lines? I love that. That is, oh, and I think that really, it's a good technique or practice to get your imagination going. Just throw a bunch of paint down and start seeing images in it. It's kind of like when you see images in the clouds. That's cool. You like that? In my grandparents' house, there used to be this like 7-foot painting in my rich grandparents' house of this black and white painting that was like, it was like 7 feet tall. It was like a big long painting, and it was of two people like intertwined dancing. That's what I saw. Like, now thinking back, I'm like, what was it? I don't even know what that was. But it was, all it was like scribbles. Like, all these, like, it looked like black paint had just been dripped all over this canvas, like this. But then they did it so much, it created a giant, like, scribble image of two bodies intertwined. I've never been able to find that, at, like, who did that, or, like, who the artist was. But my grandmother had this huge painting of that, and I'm like, it's just ingrained in my brain forever. And that's what I saw when I looked at it, two people dancing. And now that I think about it, like, I hadn't really thought about it in a while. I should go look it up again. I don't think I've ever done a painting like that, to be honest. I'm gonna have to do that. Like, drip black paint on a white canvas in an image. Wow, I've never done that. Here's one thing I've never tried. And just by talking about art, I'd rediscovered it. This was the first painting I ever really looked at when I was a kid. I must have been like 4 years old staring up at that painting. Wow, I can almost see it. I think I might have to recreate that exact painting the way I remember it.
Ooh, I'm excited. Ooh, I'm gonna do that. Let's do that next. Stay tuned. I'm gonna do that next.